Hallelujah. It is to his glory. And no, I do not have a cold. I have that glorious thing called post-nasal drip. My eyes water when I'm asleep, and it runs down and hangs on my vocal cords until about 3 o'clock. And then I'm ready for a nap, and it starts all over. Praise God. Everything, I've sent Becker a thing about that. Everything we do should be for the glory of God. It should be for his glory. Your work. You know, so many people think that, well, I just go do my work. I hate my job. That's usually what I hear. But the truth of the matter is, you got a job, do it to the best of your ability. I was thinking the other day, Angela and I had been talking, and I was thinking about a job I hated. But then again, I loved it. I hated it. And, you know, in the end, it was one I learned a lot in. And it wasn't until I quit complaining and hating that job did God give me a different opportunity. And 9 months later, I was self-employed. So God took my complaining to heart. Remember what I've told you about complaining. It's actually an accusation against God. And I was telling God, you can't do any better than this. Yeah. That's what I was basically telling him. And then when I finally shut up about it, he gave me what I wanted. So just remember that. Whatever you do, do it for God's glory. You know, if you're working with these children back there in the back, do it for God's glory. I know it's not easy. I've been there. Sometimes you just wish you had a Velcro wall and shirts. You could just stick them to the wall, but it doesn't work that way. So just remember, we all do this stuff for the glory of God. Whether you're up here playing, whether you're singing, whether you're out there singing, you're singing not for your glory. Sing to the glory of God for all the things he's done for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's bless the tithe and offering this morning. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you and I praise you. Father, that everything we do today, we give you the glory. Father, this is our work. We present it to you as holy. I thank you and praise you right now, Father, that you are moving in the midst of your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Whoops. That's okay. I've been there a couple times myself, Rob. Praise the Lord. You know, if you're paying attention, I want you to pay attention to those around you and what good things are happening in their lives. Now, I'm going to challenge you not to get jealous. You need to be able to rejoice when somebody gets something. You need to be able to praise God in the middle of your storm. You know, I watched a video this morning. Jason, could you turn me down just a tad bit? I don't know about them, but it seems really loud to me. Okay, never mind. They said no. And that's the front row. But anyhow, I watched this video this morning, and it was awesome, really. I mean, it... scary and awesome are kind of in the same boat most of the time. And it was a tornado that hit the water, and it just came down, and you could hear the smack when that thing hit the water. And I don't know how far out the people were that were recording it, but it was close enough, obviously, to hear that whirlwind smack that water. And, you know, and that's how powerful God's power can be in our lives. Is it can come down and it's going to hit hard. And God's starting to bless his people. He's bringing opportunities. To those of you, don't be afraid of opportunity. Everybody's waiting for God to come down and give you a blessing, or come down and smack you up the side of the head and saying, "Thus saith the Lord, this is what you should do." And most of the times that is not what he does. Because, by the way, if he has to tell you this is what you should do, evidently you haven't been listening. You have to know his voice. The other day I was doing some work, and I don't even know how I even got on it. Remember what I've told you about anger? And this one thought popped in my mind, and for just a half a heartbeat, I entertained that thought, and I dropped a big old glob of drywall mud on my boot. And instantly, I mean, it just fell off of my knife. That I wasn't even doing it. It just fell. And instantly I said, "I'm not biting, Lord. Forgive me for even thinking about it. It was stupid. I'm not biting." Everything went perfect after that again. So now my work boot has this big old white spot on it. It'll wear off. But my point being, I realized real quick how easy it was getting to think about things. You know, we get jealous. Well, why do they seem to be blessed? Why do they seem to get all the things that they want? Well, pay the price they're willing to pay. You know, today's society is not the society of the 40s and the 50s. No way, shape, how, nor form. But you can't get mad at people because they're moving in their lives. They're doing things with their lives, and you're sitting at home watching reruns. Hope I didn't hit anybody too hard on that one. Because I love watching reruns. But I've also been paying a price for years. And I still get out and I do things. And one of the things I do is being obedient to God and being here, doing my job. This is my job. So today I'm going to continue on. I want to continue in the book of Proverbs. We're in 21, I believe, yeah. And I'm going to try to get through the end of it, okay? I think I only have to get through 29, and I don't have, you know, a million scriptures that I'm going to be reading out of, but I do have enough in here that, because there's things I really want to expound on. And again, the reason we're doing this is simply because these are things that as I was praying and I was asking God about his people, I said, "Lord, I see a problem within his ranks." I said, "And I can only deal with you guys and whoever watches online. That's the only ones that I can give this to. But there's so many people right now that are so torn up and twisted about, and they're not getting in the Word of God. You've got to take the Word of God. It is your sword. You can't fight without your weapon." "Well, Pastor, I don't know any." Oh, by the way, I was going to do this. You got a 30-day challenge, 31-day. Next 31 days, I want you reading a book of Proverbs for the next 31 days. Now, you men, don't judge your wife on chapter 31, please. Because for starters, our generation, well, my generation, but coming out, was taught that the women don't work. And obviously, they do. That has been religion that did that. Religion did that and controlled. I watched the movie the other night, Hidden Figures. Anybody seen it? A few of you? Excellent movie. Excellent movie. It's about the women who figured the math to send John Glenn and those astronauts into space and land them on the coordinates. They had one hole to hit. Other than that, John Glenn would still be circling the Earth at 17,544 miles per hour. But anyhow, woman wanted to be an engineer. She had an engineer's mind, and she could tell these guys what was wrong, and they would do her suggestions and it would work. And somebody recommended she go to engineer school, and they said, "Well, women aren't engineers." And then the professor, when she went in, said, well, this is a men's class. How do I teach a woman? And she looked at him and said, pretty much the same way you'd teach a man. We have this stupid idea that men and women are different in their heads. Yeah, we think about things a little bit differently, but that's just because we're different people. Harold and I are both men, but yet Harold's going to see something, he's going to think of it a little different based on his experiences, his likes, his dislikes. Well, I don't never care to do that, so I'm just not going to think too hard about it. And it would be one of those things, well, I enjoyed doing that. We can't judge each other just because they're male, female, black, white, whatever, or whatever their family ancestry is. Because for starters, I can't help it. My ancestors worshipped sticks and piles of rocks. But I think most of yours did too at some point. But in Proverbs chapter 21, in verse 15, it says, "It is a joy for the just to do justice, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity." It is only for the just. It is a joy when somebody who is an evil person does not want to do justice, but they have to do it because of the law, it tears them up. When the just do justice, that means what is right. If somebody wrongs Matt, and Matt says, hey, you know, I was wronged in this, but the law is on the other person's side, is that justice? Absolutely not. Justice is not always the law. Justice is bringing about what is right. God's way of doing it right. That's where we get a little messed up. Now, that's not saying that we can go around twisting the law however we want. We have to be careful, but we can pray for justice. And we're going to hit that again here in a little bit, that theme here again in a minute. Now, verse 23 says, "Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles." Oh, my Lord. Has anybody else ever opened your mouth and inserted your foot? You're like, why didn't I just keep quiet? Why? Why did I have to say? It wasn't as funny as it sounded in my head. If we keep our mouths quiet, we keep our soul from troubles. And I don't know who said this, but it's one of those things I've been running on for a long time, and I'm still trying to keep it in practice. It says it's better for people to think you a fool and to open your mouth and remove all doubt. I've done that a few times, but if you stand around and you just look right, yeah, people think you're pretty smart. And guess what? According to the smartest book in the world, you are. You're pretty smart. You won't have to deal with those words because, one, you're not getting them back. You'll never have to deal with them again. Now, this next verse was one we started with. It's one I wanted you to understand. "A proud and haughty man, scoffer is his name. He acts with arrogant pride." And I told you, anywhere we see the word scoffer in the book of Proverbs, I'm going to put these right here. We can automatically say he's an arrogant man. It's an arrogant person. That's the kind of people they are. As I was preparing my heart for this message, I said, Lord, you know, what about this? What about pride and arrogance? We know that the devil fell because of pride, right? But where did pride come from? What caused pride to come out? It has to come out in something. And the only thing that I have felt the Lord tell me is it is a perceived wrong. You think you're owed something. You think you're better than something. Look at Lucifer. He was the bright and shining morning star. He reflected God's glory. He was built with instruments. The horns that are in his body are not pokey horns from a goat. They are trumpets, trombones, shofars, whatever. They are horns that make music. He was a one-man band. And he one day realized, they're not praising me. They're praising I Am. And he got in his heart that he was being wronged. Even though he was in the glory, he walked in the fire. The Bible says the coals. He walked in the fire until iniquity was found. And this anger is something that Proverbs calls iniquity. And that's an inner. He was bruised for our transgressions, and he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. A bruise is an internal injury. Anybody ever bruise a bone? Let me tell you what, I think they do hurt worse than broken bones. They hurt, but it takes a long time for them to heal, but it is so deep. And that's an iniquity. It is something that is so deep inside of us that we wonder if it'll ever go away. Now, I can't actually speak of bruising because I can honestly say that I haven't bruised in like 15 to 20 years. Things that used to leave bruises don't leave bruises anymore. I don't know why. Doctor doesn't seem to care, so I'm like, cool. But I just don't bruise anymore. And in that, I don't always show that, oh yeah, there's something here. I'm not saying that it doesn't hurt. I still get the pain, okay? I'm not impervious to the pain. I still get the pain. It just doesn't show up. So if I'm walking around, I'm like, oh, well, there's nothing there. There's no bruise. On the flip side, you have my wife who looks at a table corner and she bruises. And she walks in. I'm like, where did you get that? I have no idea. And then there's been times I've told her, I said, you make sure people know I had nothing to do with that. I didn't do it. Anyhow. So we know that a proud and haughty man, his name is scoffer. And he always acts with arrogant pride. You're always, so anywhere you see the word scoffer in the book of Proverbs, I guarantee you can use this. 22 verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. By humility and the fear of God, not by devoted dedication to your job. There's so much more to wealth than money. There's honor in your life. You've got to fear God in all of this. Oh, by the way, there's life in the humility and the fear of the Lord. If you're somebody who's only just working to make a buck, I'm promising you're going to get to the end of it and find out that it's useless. There, I've said this before and I'll say it again. There are too many wealthy people who thought that money would just make them happy. Everybody who I've read testimony after testimony of people who have won the Powerball and the lotteries like that, and they said, I wish I had never bought the ticket. It doesn't bring the happiness you think it's going to bring. Now, verse 10. Cast out the scoffer. Cast out the who? The haughty and arrogant scoffer. And contention will leave. Why will contention leave? Because the person who feels that they've been done wrong isn't there anymore. Yes, strife and reproach will cease. Right now in this country, we have so many people. There are people. This movie was one of the classic examples. And it just, I mean, it did. It kind of made me mad. When I say kind of, I'm saying I didn't get on a war path. But inside of me, it stirred up something. That is so despicable that just because they were black and they were women, that they were treated. The cop was going to arrest them for disrespect. Earn it first, Bubba. Don't come and tell me that just because I'm broke down on the side of the road with a flat tire that suddenly I'm obstructing the roadway. It's an empty highway in the middle of nowhere, Virginia. How about giving assistance? But the problem is, folks, we still do have this mentality in this country with certain people. There are still churches today that think that it's got to be all white. It's got to be all black. It's got to be all Korean. I understand the Korean and the Asian churches. Why they do it? Because they speak in their native tongues. Okay? No problem with that. But why do we have to divide the church amongst color lines? If we get rid of all these people that suddenly think, I get it, you were in a, it was the times, but that is not the times now. And if you keep stirring up the garbage, remember what I told you about stirring up strife. What are you actually stirring up? Maybe you just went out to the septic tank, opened up that lid, stuck in that 10-foot pole, and you're just cranking that around. And just letting that beautiful aroma come up out of that big old hole. That's what you do when you go back that far and stir it up. Listen, I've asked this before. How many of you are Irish? And so many, you know, there's a bunch of us in here whose family came from the Irish. They were treated worse than black people at one point by whites. And then they got a chip on their shoulder and they went, it's stupid. The Protestants and the Catholics, same stinking thing. Why do we have to do this? We need to keep the people that want to stir trouble, quit listening to them. Tell me the facts of what I need to know, then shut up. If you don't have a way to fix it, if you aren't going to Washington, D.C., you aren't meeting with the senators and the congressmen and saying, this is wrong, we need to deal with it, instead of going back and stirring it up and stirring it up. Because what happens? You will stir up hatred and violence in people. Last year was proof of that. Now, verse 24, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. When it says friendship, it's not saying you can't know somebody, and they can't be in your circle of influence. But your deep, closest friends cannot be people who are angry, people who are prone to violence in that realm. Bible says you got to be slow to anger. First, that is a requirement to be in the position I'm in right now. That is a requirement of an elder in the church, is to be slow to anger. Hotheads need not apply. Because the thing is, you have to be slow to anger, because I promise you, there are so many times people would bring garbage to you and dump it on you and expect, it ain't none of my business. I've had to tell people that. It's none of my business. Now, you come in here and stir strife, and I've told people before, there's the door. I'm not here to build numbers. I'm here to build the people. But we all have things we can be angry about. But we can't let that anger develop who we are. I've told you before about a friend that I had while I was on active duty. He was from Detroit. And so we kind of connected, you know, how Michigan and Ohio guys just kind of connected and became friends, I don't know. But he, right off the bat, he was shipped. Nobody wanted to deal with him because he had a temper. If you heard him start cussing, you had better hit the deck, because there was a ratchet or a hammer or something was coming across the shop. He was that type of person. They said, we can't deal with you. You're going on a float. And the next thing you know, I'm on the same float. And I'm in the Philippines with him. And we kind of got a little closer there. And as we were there, you know, we got a new platoon sergeant in from my old unit. And this guy, honestly, there was nothing wrong with him. He wanted to be squared away. I'm sure he came from a background that people did not look highly upon him and his family. So he wanted to make sure he was doing everything perfect, everything locked and cocked. And, you know, he was just trying to be as squared away as he could. But I had a chip on my shoulder, because at about 130 pounds and 2% body fat, he had the audacity to tell me that I was fat. I'm like, seriously, dude? I buy my clothes in the little boys section. Okay? I'm 2%. All because I had these little love handles. I still have them. They're just bigger. And, you know, say, but he was never trying to do me wrong. He, as a matter of fact, he reached out to me to try to help me out, to try to be a better man. He said, Woodell, he said, you've got to quit hanging out with him. He said, he is the wrong person. He's nothing more than a weight around your neck. He's no good. And I, oh, yeah. You know, because at that point, I was still trying to believe that people liked me. And so I was just taking whoever, right? You take whoever. And But in the end, I've looked back, and he was the last person I should have been friends with. The very last person. Because I could have learned. He's the one I've told you about. We go snorkeling, wake him up at 10:30 on Saturday morning, and we drew straws to see who was going to go in and wake him up. Because he was usually throwing a fist first. So he was full of anger. Where did his anger come from? Well, I got a feeling it had a lot to do with his parents' divorce. And his dad and his stepdad worked in the same factory at Ford. They raced in the same circuit on dirt track. They knew each other. So sure, there was some animosity that had birthed there. But the problem is he couldn't control that anger. And he started taking it. He never, to my knowledge, beat his wife, but he flat out scared the living bejeebers out of her. He punched a window in the car and shattered it, bare-knuckled, with a hand that he broke twice. He claims he fell down the steps. I think I got other ideas on how he broke it. But I tell you that because you don't need that type of influence that close into your life. Okay? We all know somebody who could be like that. They don't need to be your BFF. Okay? They just need to be somebody that you know. Oh, let's go fishing. Why? I think you're going to sink us. And then blame it on me. Be careful of who your close friends are, that they do not react like this. And if you got somebody who's on a war path on something, and they have no, even if they do have good, like I said, my buddy, he probably did have a good reason to be angry. But he needed to let it go, and he wouldn't. All right. Verse 9, do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. So many people today are trying to convince morons of the truth. That's the only way I can put it. A fool, you're going to have to, that's why I want you to read Proverbs, because it mentions a fool and foolishness many, many, many times. Foolish actions, people that cut off their nose to spite their face, that type of person. They're in just such a heated debate or fight that they just won't listen to any reason. The Bible tells us in the New Testament not to cast our pearls before the swine. This is what it's talking about. Don't cast your good things. Don't even speak in the hearing of somebody who doesn't want to listen. They've already got their minds made up and they think they're right, even though their mind is totally against the Word of God. Because we all have opinions, and the first thing we need to do when we go to read the Word of God is take our opinion, set it over here, get in the Word of God, study it out, and say, you know what? That opinion is garbage. I've had several opinions. I'm like, God, I can't keep that opinion anymore because your Word says this. So I've erased those in my mind. Verse 23, buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Why did he say and understanding? Because see, without understanding, the Bible tells us in all of our getting, get understanding. Because if you have all the wisdom in the world, and you have all the knowledge in the world, what good does it do you if you don't understand it? You know, these gals the other day on that movie, the math, that they went up to the chalkboards, and great big chalkboards the size of these walls, and they just started these with ladders, and they'd stand for hours on these ladders doing these equations. And to make sure that it worked right, they did it in reverse. And I'm like, you lost me with that first mark up there. Can you go back and explain it? Because I don't understand it. I understand what 2 times 2 is, 2 plus 2, 2 divided by 4, which is 0.5. It doesn't work out, does it? We have to remember that there are some things we don't understand. And thank God for people that understand that. You know, you guys that love math, I know we got a math teacher, and Jason up here, he's just, yeah, crazy smart on math, and I think he's still working on some things. But I'm here to tell you, folks, Just because they understand it doesn't mean I'm going to. But I can promise you there's things I understand they aren't going to. And why did God do that? Exactly. We all need each other. No man is an island. But there are so many people that they just want to do it all themselves and never use anybody else. And God gave somebody else the expertise in that. I know people that are doing home improvement and they say, I hate it. Yeah. Yep. That's who I was going to say. My son back here with his hand up in the air. He's like, I would rather work overtime working on trucks than I would have to hang drywall. That's fine. His knowledge and his understanding is in the mechanics. Mine was in the mechanics, and then I just said, I'm done. And I switched, grabbed another gear, and did something else that really meant something to me. Because I've told Angela, I said, you know, when we moved down here in 75, we lived in a house right next to Rob Peters' grandpa. And if you ever buy there, it's on a big curve outside of Williamsport. Where Carlisle Smith's big field is and all that. But there's these pine trees. They're, 50 feet tall? Something like that. Huge trees. Well, just so you know, when I lived there, I could jump over them. And I was 5 years old, and so I was literally about this tall. But I could jump over them. But anyhow, they had built the house on the other side of the trees. And again, they weren't big trees, but I remember climbing up in that tree and watching those guys build that house, and I was in such amazement, and it just thrilled me so much to watch them do that. I also learned another lesson that day. Pine trees are sticky. Remember, I just moved from Cleveland. There weren't too many pine trees to climb up there. Not where I lived. And so get understanding. Buy truth. Don't buy people's opinions. Buy the truth. Verse chapter 24. Through wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. This goes right back to what I just read to you. Through wisdom is a house is built. So everything you do, your house, your home, your family, it is built on the wisdom of God. And it will only stand because of understanding of how things work. Now, verse 9, the devising of foolishness is sin, and the scoffer is an abomination to men. Every person that could qualify as a scoffer, all these hotheads running around, stirring up garbage, they're an abomination to the human race. Because that's all they've got. Find me somebody with hope. Find me somebody that says, you know what? I know your family didn't have slaves. So I do not expect you. As a matter of fact, we're going to stop this. White people don't owe us any reparations. Like I said, if we're going to go back, I guarantee you that the Irish were treated pretty crappy. They didn't hit the hills for no reason at all. And the Scottish, well, if we want to get crazy on it, well, Scottish and Irish, all from England. We want to get crazy, all you Brits. I watched Braveheart. But you know what? It's in the past. It's ancient history. Let's quit dredging up hard feelings. We've got to let this garbage go. Chapter 25, verse 19. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a bad tooth and a foot out of joint. You know what that means? They're useless. They cause you nothing but trouble. See, looky there, I jumped a couple pages. But here's one I really want. Chapter 26, verse 20. It says, where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. As charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. keeps getting hooked on my earpiece. Who's he talking about? Should I give you some abbreviations? CNN, ABC, CBS, Fox, all of them. They're all in the same boat. They don't care. They just want you to follow the story. What happens when you sit around and you listen is all you do is get fired up. Oh, did you hear this, and this? How many of you remember 9/11, the very day that it happened? I do. Angela called me, and I mean, I didn't know much about the World Trade Center at the time. And as I listened, you know, to the reports coming out, the very first reports that I heard, I was working, and the first reports that I heard is there could be 50,000 dead. That was the report I heard. Well, we know it was not nearly that high, praise God. But that's the report they started in the very beginning. Why? Why would you speculate? I thought the news was supposed to report facts, not speculation. But they started getting us fired up and geared up. I have a lot of opinions on some of that stuff, and so I will just keep them there. But the news began to stir the wrong numbers. They began getting people's emotions stirred up into it. Next thing you know, we don't trust our neighbor, just like right now. We don't trust people of color. Well, I've heard people yelling at sheikhs, calling them derogative names, accusing them of bombing and stuff, and they don't realize sheikhs are Indian and they're peaceful. That's how stupid we've become. But how many preachers ran out right after that and they started teaching on the evils of Islam? It is not the same God. That's all you have to say. Yeah. Allah and I am are not the same. What we do have to understand is God loves them. And he sent Jesus, a Jew. Let me remind you, all of us Anglo-Saxon people, a Jew died for us. So when we listen to people who are stirring garbage, they're just stirring trouble. They're going around, we need to come to your church. We need people to know what's going on. No, thank you. This church is called a sanctuary. It's where the word of God will come out. You can, by all means, go rent the hall down the road and you can preach your propaganda. And there may be some truth in what you're saying. But some truth, again, a little bit of chocolate or a little bit of dog poo mixed in with the chocolate chips is still going to affect the flavor and the smell. And it's consistent. I think of that every time I find one of Remy's landmines. He lets us know it's time to mow the grass, because I've told you, he goes to the deep grass. He likes to be private about that. And the other day, I found a section of yard I hadn't mowed yet. And boy, he left me like, whew. Thank God I saw it before I hit it. So we got to take out the contention. Get the news. Because I can promise you, in an hour, it's changing. It will change. The facts, everything will change about the story. It doesn't matter who's telling it. It's going to change. Because within the first hour, you don't have the facts. You don't have anything. How many of you, for years and years and years, believed that Japan fired the first shot against us? Come on, I want to see hands. How many of you believed that? It's because it's what we were taught, right? Joe, were we? We fired the first shot at them. We sank subs. Was it the Aleutian Islands? And I think one on the other side of Hawaii, wasn't there? Do you know why we didn't? Why we got sideswiped like that? God sent somebody to show us that there was something afoot. And you know what happened? Nobody would dare do that to us. Nobody would dare. Yeah, they will. And they did. And they still will. So don't ever think that, you know, well, we're safe because we're the United States. It ain't got nothing to do with anything. Who we are has nothing. We've been challenged for years. And, you know, years ago I told people when I first started preaching, I said, you know, all y'all think that Russia's no longer a threat. I said, you're foolish. All Russia did was got rid of nukes that were outdated, the same as us. We have got to watch what we're listening to. Oh, peace has settled, peace has settled. Oh, let's just hang on a second here. Let me see the rest of the story. Paul Harvey wasn't wrong. You need the rest of the story. There were so many things that happened on those days. That don't make sense. On these days that are surrounding 9/11. But we're talking about getting all the facts. Even Proverbs says that it is considered foolishness to me that if I hear an argument and I make a decision based on one side of the argument, then I'm a fool. Because I need to hear both sides of the argument. This is kind of why our justice system has a prosecution and a defense. You got to hear both sides. 27, verse 4. Wrath is cruel and anger a torrent, but who is able to stand before jealousy? Jealousy doesn't comprehend feelings. It just goes in and does what it was going to do. 12, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. The simple pass on and are punished. There was a movie, and I can't remember what it's called. It's actually a Christian movie. The one about the diner. Was it called The Diner? My boys remember. But there was a guy who showed up in a Corvette, and they were saying, you know, no, the bridge is out. Okay, yeah, The Diner. And the guy said, no, I know better. I know that bridge is not out, and because there was no signs. But yet people that just came from that way said, the bridge just washed out. No, it's not. The guy ended up dying. But how many times have people been trying to tell us, watch yourselves? Let me help you out. I'm telling you, watch yourselves. Don't be simple. 21, the refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, and a man is valued by what others say of him. You know, we live by, and to a degree there's a point, we do not need to care what people think about us, right? But really we do. See, when I was ordained, one of the deals with Pastor Dosick was that I would start the church and I'd preach, and for a year he would kind of monitor things and check on things. We'd talk, and he said, and at the end of that year, he said, I want to have you give me maybe a dozen people, give me their phone numbers that know you. And he said, and I'm gonna call them and talk to them about you. And then he said, and then I'm gonna pull up numbers out of your community and just call and find out if they know who you are and what kind of person you are. Do you know what mattered? It's what people were saying of me. That's what mattered. That's what the Bible says. He was not going to put his stamp of approval and ordain me if bad things came out. Oh, he's a hothead. He's this. I honestly do not consider myself a hothead, even though I have had anger pent up. I've usually been a little slower, but then there, I ain't gonna lie. There have been times, well, like I said, I just said I pin it up, so what happens to a volcano? It takes so much pressure and it blows, and that's what I was. But when I blew, it was blind. I didn't care who or what, and that's what's devastating about it. Chapter 28, verse 2, because of the transgression of a land, many are its princes, but a man of understanding and knowledge, right, will be prolonged. the the sins of a land, there's going to be many rulers. There's going to be high turnover because there's going to be committing wrong and evil. And by the way, God's one who helps bring all that to justice. Verse 5, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all. If you're trying to figure out why our government cannot see what is right now, it just said it. They don't understand justice. They don't understand it at all. One minute, people are, yes, let's build a wall. The guy gets in and says, we're going to build a wall. No, let's not build a wall. We don't build a wall. They get in charge again. Let's build a wall. What's wrong? They don't understand wisdom. There is a way to come into this country. God is not against that. Everybody throws up the Bible where God is telling Israel, not to harm the alien in their midst, but to remember that they were once aliens as well. Well, there's still a way to come into a country. And Israel had that way as well. By the way, you want to know what the custom was to go into a new land? Every new land, you gave them 10% of your belongings. See, so when we read that Abraham went into Egypt, he gave Pharaoh 10%. That's why he gave Melchizedek 10%. That's, unfortunately, in my opinion, gotten a little twisted away from what the truth was because it's a custom. You tithe to them. You're under their protection. No harm can come to you, or the king will exact justice. And that's the way it was. That's why Pharaoh found out, hey, that's your sister. Or not your sister, that's your wife. What are you trying to do to me? Because they believed even in a God of justice. Even though it may not be the right God, they believed justice was still going to come about. And in Abraham's case, it was happening. God was bringing about the justice. Verse 12, when the righteous rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked arise, men hide themselves. Verse 15, like a roaring lion and a charging bear is a wicked ruler over poor people. A ruler who lacks understanding is a great oppressor. But he who hates covetousness will prolong his days. Right now, and the reason that we had all this fighting in the last several years is because people are jealous and they're coveting. Well, they got a great following. They got this, and things are happening. We get covetous of what's happening instead of thinking for the greater good of the people. Churches do it all the time. Well, I'll just go start another church in your community. Well, that's great. What are you doing different? Well, we're going to have this club. We don't need another club. We don't need another stinking club. Church is not about that. Never has and never should be. Is it okay for churches to host things? Yeah, as long as that's not your primary purpose. I'm sorry. I know I'm probably hurting some people in their thoughts, but I think these things are great. But why aren't moms and dads doing it outside the church? Why is the church having to lure people in? By the way, out of other churches. That's my problem with it. For years, I had a bit of a problem with somebody who would have a particular day at their church and say, invite your family. I even got invited to it. And I said, do you seriously think I'm going to step down from my pulpit for a day to come ride a motorcycle with you on a Sunday? My job is here. Now, if I'm on vacation, that's one thing. But it's not to be out building somebody else's church. It's to be building you. And see, and I have a problem with that. We don't have a purpose. That's why I tell you, we got several people in here who have either been coaches or are coaches. There's your field. Minister. You have the opportunity to show them Christ. Some of these kids they don't even really know love. They're just there because their parents said, I don't want to deal with you. And they need somebody to show them kindness. And I'm not, and I get it. And this is what people need to start understanding is there are laws. And I'm one of those people, I kind of stand on this little tightrope about this. Well, Pastor, you know, they took prayer out of church. That took everything out. Well, you know what? There's so many people that don't know how to pray, don't believe in their prayers, and they're teaching my kid not to believe in his prayers too. It's my job to teach my kid to pray. It's my job to teach my kid about Jesus. I've had some goofy people, some really goofy people in my past. Come to find out they were way out there. Really don't want them preaching the what they think is the gospel. Thomas Jefferson, great leader, great man, founding father. He's one of the last people I want preaching the gospel of Jesus. One, he evidently didn't live by it, but two, he didn't believe in what Jesus did. He believed in his own, what he thought was right. Don't want that. If I want to pray in school, I prayed in school. That's all there is to it. It's not the teacher's job to have to lead me in prayer. But I'll be, you know where, do you want to know where I did learn to pray though? In school. Even though it was illegal at that point, my first grade teacher, we'd say, "Bless God is good, God is great. Let us thank him for this food, amen." At Johnsville. Now I tell you that, and that's all fine and dandy, and that's great. But see, we tend to think that we got to go further and further and further and further instead of saying, why don't you go to church? Why don't you come to church? And I can tell you more because, you know what? I mean, how many? One, two, three, four. We got four or five. I think we got five or six teachers in here. You know what you're being paid to do? Teach those kids. But getting Christians to understand that. When I was on a job building something, my job was not to be there preaching to those people. My job was to be working. Otherwise, I'm stealing from the person who's hired me. Well, I don't agree with you. Well, you don't have to agree with me. That's the great thing about this country. You don't have to agree. But let's not put the pressure on our teachers to be the ones having to tell our kids about what Jesus did. If a kid has a question, that changes it. But it's not your job to do that. You can say, hey, come to church. I'll tell them. You know, we got some kids in the neighborhood. They think this is a school. They thought Karen was one of the teachers. They don't know anything about God. That's sad. And I ain't been able to catch them and try to invite them. That's the state of this world right now. They don't know God. All they see is the church fighting. I tell you what, if we spend more time on our knees praying and fighting from the floor, you'll start seeing this country come around. And I'm going to keep moving. Because I'm actually almost there, I think. I actually have a lot of highlighted ones. Verse 25, chapter 28. He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. Remember, scoffer stirs. Don't be a scoffer. Don't be stirring stuff up. If this is something that is ongoing, you need to deal with it, but you need to deal with it rightly. Ask God how to take care of it. Verse chapter 29, by a transgression an evil man is snared, but the righteous sings and rejoices. The evil will set their own traps. I remember somebody got a speeding ticket one time. They were getting pulled over, and they told the officer, said, so I guess you're going to have to give me a warning, huh? And the policeman replied back, said, no, sir. He said, I give you people enough rope, and when you hang yourself, you're mine. And that's just it. they will set their own trap. Scoffers, verse 8:29. A scoffer set a city aflame, but wise men turn away wrath. How about we start being wise? How about we start using wisdom? And you know what the greatest thing for wisdom is? Is to call out to God. How do I do it? The first thing you do is shut up about it. I've told Angela time and time again about certain things. If they just shut up, this problem, it doesn't go away, but the violence that's being tuned up against it will stop. We have a legal system. We need to get lawyers involved. We need to get the right people involved. Well, it sounds like you're just anti-protesting. Protesting doesn't do anything. It turns into violence every time, I can promise you. The whole deal down in Washington was not supposed to have happened like that. But look what happened. Verse 11, a fool vents all of his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. Do I need to say more? It's telling us to keep our traps shut more than we open them. I heard somebody say once, God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. We're supposed to listen twice as much as we talk. If a ruler pays attention to lies, all of his servants become wicked. And I tell you, that I got this highlighted in my practical knowledge. That's why you need to be praying for President Biden. You need to pray for him. Who he's listening to. The lies. Verse 16, when the wicked are multiplied, transgression increases, but the righteous will see their fall. They will fall. Okay? Verse 18, where there's no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. What law? You're not keeping the law of Moses. You know that's how they call that too. They don't call it the law of God. It's the law of Moses. You keep the law that Jesus gave us. Love one another as I have loved you. When you do that, you fulfill the law and the prophets. You fulfill it all. Everybody's looking for revelation. Can I tell you a little something? The revelation you really need to get is an understanding of this book. You're going to see how God said, you know what, you reject me, I'm going to give you what you wanted. I'm going to give you the rules so that you understand how things go. They rejected what he wanted. Verse 20, do you see a man hasty in his words? Remember what I talked about just a little bit ago about our mouths? Do you see a man hasty in his words? There's more hope for a fool than for him. By the way, a fool is a man who's also said there's no God. So figure out what God, Jesus, or Solomon was equating him to here. Verse 22, an angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgressions. He's constantly doing stuff behind your back. Watch the people who are stirring. They've got more going on than you think. We know all the conspiracies that came out last year, who was funding what, and this, that, and the other. If there's anybody that missed it, I'm sure you can find it on YouTube. Well, this is fun. And that's what I kept telling Angela. I said, follow the money. You follow the money, you will find who's stirring it. A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. 26, many seek the ruler's favor, but justice for man comes from the Lord. We're wanting justice, right? I mean, I personally, there's some things I know we need to be praying for justice. It's happened in this country. However, it's going to take God to bring it. An unjust man is an abomination to the righteous, and he who is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. What people need to understand right now more than anything is the assault that's going on is against God. They want to control firearms. They want to register them. They want this. They want that. They just want to know who they can take them from. They want to know churches. I praise God that right now, our Supreme Court, the state Supreme Court, has said First Amendment rights shall not be violated. And besides that, we've always said, well, we can't gather. We'll just get protest signs. How many of you saw the video this past week of the pastor from Alberta, Canada, kicking the police and the, just so you know, they barricaded his driveway the other day. I haven't heard what he did yet, but I want you to understand that's what socialism does. That's exactly what socialism does. People have the rights to do whether they want to go or don't go. That's their right. You have the right to say or not to say. You have the right to vote. You have rights given to you. And by the way, these are absolute rights. They are absolute. That Constitution is absolute in this country. But that's why we need to pray. Because I honestly don't think the man really believes that. I believe he's being fed that. Because he's the one who has the pen right now. God will bring justice to the people that are feeding him all this garbage. We've got to be careful what we're listening to, who we're listening to. Listen to him, get your facts. But if you find yourself angry all the time, note this, you may need to turn it off and turn on some music. Listen to something else. I tend to actually can hear the voice of God better listening to music than anything else. But God has also started has showed me over the years how to pull out what people were saying 20, 30 years ago about things. Do you know people were trying to deal with the situation that we have with the black community and the police back in the 80s? They were trying to deal with it. But everybody said, oh, it's not a real problem. I personally think I'd be a little ticked off if my boy drove through the neighborhood and a cop pulled him over because he was driving the wrong car. And it was his car and I gave it to him as a gift. I'm going to have a problem with that. I know you would too. But that's why we need to be electing good officials. Do you know why it was allowed to go like that? Because officials weren't being elected that would take care of it. But don't let your anger get the best of you. Don't let wrath stir in your heart. The Bible tells us we can be angry and sin not. I just read to you the sins that people that are angry do. Let that righteous indignation rise up that says, we're going to do something about it. I do like the meme that says, if you want change in the police, instead of burning the cars, cutting them down, why don't you enlist your service in the police force and change it? It's easier to change it from inside than it is from outside. It's a lot easier. But we got to start changing men's hearts, and we have to start here in this body and in the other bodies. We're not right just because we're white, and we're not wrong either just because we're white. I get it. Some of this stuff has been blown out of proportion, but I get certain things. I do. I'm not stupid. Maybe a little crazy. But we're going to start seeing miracles take place. Things that we didn't think were going to be able to happen in this country. But not because we went out and we just went against people that we were fighting against them and had no idea why we were fighting. Do you understand that's what the protesters against Vietnam did? And then once they got done protesting the war, they couldn't stop. They had to go after the guys coming back. But now we hear the real stories coming out of Vietnam about what the communists were doing. Well, better shut up before I start sharing opinion. But nonetheless, the anger issue, this wrath, it's fueling right now in this world, has got to be put to peace. And it's not going to get put to peace if the people of God, look around you, all of you have influence in somebody's life. Even if it's just saying, you know, that joke's not funny. Well, I think it's hilarious. And you just keep thinking it's hilarious. I don't. See, people are trying to impress you. You can ask our boys, we tell them, don't find that funny. I don't find that show funny. I don't find that funny. They'll tell you. But there's a whole new comedy realm out there that I just don't find funny. Now, let's stand. Boy, it got awful quiet in this Presbyterian church. There you go. I know. I hit some things that are serious. But if the church seems to think that it can't actually talk about real things. Do you know why money's a real problem with people? Because the church never talked about it. Do you know why sex is a real problem? Because the church refused to talk about it. No, next week's message isn't about sex, so don't go getting excited there. Or scared, one of the two, I don't know. Honestly, I have to say that is, you know, in marriage counseling, that is the, for me, you know, I'm like, yeah. But in the end, when I'm sitting there looking at people that I knew as children, it's a little awkward, especially when it's my own. But you know what? I will tell you, I tell you the truth about it. I don't go in and tell you what religion tells you about sex. But same thing with money. I'll tell you the truth about money. You want to pursue money? You're a fool. Pursue God, and you're wise. If you pursue things, they'll fail you every time. So, anyhow, let's pray, and I'll bless you. Heavenly Father, I thank you, and I praise you, Lord. Father, we thank you for the wisdom that is found in this book. Father, I pray that as people pick up the challenge to read a chapter a day, starting tomorrow, Father, that you will give them the wisdom. You will show them the things in that book. Father, you will show them things that they've never seen. You will open their eyes to what was said and not what was merely twisted. Father, I thank you that you're moving in this body right now. Father, that the wrath and the anger that gets stirred up because of things we hear through the news, we watch on the news, Father, we hear through the grapevine, Lord, Father, that truth and wisdom will prevail in these. Father, and the first thing is we will control our mouths. We will control that temper. Father, and we will wait for all the information to come out before we decide. Father, I pray that you bless these people. Lord God, I thank you for them. Lord, and I know and trust that as you're leading and guiding them, Father, you're opening up paths, you're opening up doors and ways for them, Father, that no man has opened and no man can close. In Jesus' name, amen.